Now, as we start looking at Jesus, the resurrected Jesus this morning, we'll be reading a story that is an encounter between Jesus and his disciples. And it reminds me of something that happened in our own family, actually, a few years ago during Advent this one year. One of our girls was very interested in this whole idea of Advent. And so as a family, each night we'd gather around. We had an Advent calendar. You'd open the little deal and pull out the piece and hang it as a part of the nativity story. And we told the story each time as we would do that each night leading up to Christmas Eve. And finally, Christmas Eve comes and we're all really, really excited. And so we talk about the Christmas story again, and we pull out the final piece of the Advent calendar, and our daughter is really excited, and we say, "So what is it? You know, why are we so excited about today? What is the big news for today?" And she's like, "Jesus is having a baby." And we thought all 3 or 4 weeks of this planning and preparing and teaching, and that's what she comes up with. And so we were a little, we laughed, but at the same time, a little disappointed, right? And I get the sense that for Jesus, with his disciples, he had that sort of feeling quite a bit. Not so much the, "Oh, that was cute" feeling, but the disappointment and the, "Oh, my goodness, they really don't get it" feeling. I think Jesus was getting accustomed to that by the time he rose from the dead and he comes back to visit his disciples here in the passage that we're reading. So we are reading from John chapter 20, and it is an account of a couple of different encounters that Jesus has with his disciples after his resurrection. We'll be reading John 20 verses 19 to 31, but let's, and I'm actually going to cut it to through verse 29, but let us pray as we approach God's word. We thank you for your word today, God, and we thank you for the work that you are doing around the world and in us. And we pray that this time before your word today would be a time that you continue that work in us, that we might draw near to you, and that you might change those things within us that need to be changed. Through your Holy Spirit, Lord, teach us from your word today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Here we find the disciples right after Jesus rose from the dead, the very day he had risen from the dead. And they should be excited, right? This is the culmination of everything Jesus was pointing to during his ministry. But the disciples still don't quite seem to get it. Now, they had abandoned Jesus already during his trials and his execution. The disciples scattered. They said, oh, you know, Jesus is in trouble. We don't want to get in trouble ourselves. Like, we need to distance ourselves from this guy because apparently he's a criminal. We're not sure even what's going on. They had heard about the good news of Jesus from the women that morning when he had risen from the dead. A couple of them even saw the empty tomb, but none of them had actually seen the resurrected Jesus. So they pulled back into their shell, and they gathered together, I'm assuming, to talk about what in the world do we do now. And they were afraid. They were scared of the Jews, and so they shut the doors and they locked the doors to keep safe, seemingly forgetting what Jesus had prepared them for 3 years to do once he was gone, to spread the good news. Jesus had set up his entire ministry to depend on these 12, now 11 guys, getting out and spreading the good news. And here they were, locked in a room with the best news in the whole world behind closed doors. Now, maybe we could excuse this very first encounter, okay? It's the very day Jesus has risen from the dead. They must be a little shocked. They're still reeling kind of from the shock of the news that Jesus is alive. So maybe we can excuse that first week. Jesus visits them and gives them the Holy Spirit, breathes on them. He gives them his peace. He shows them his wounds. He says, look, it really is me. I'm alive. And so a week later, Jesus comes back, finds the disciples in the same place, behind closed doors, huddled together by themselves. Well, on top of that, Thomas wasn't there the first time around and has completely refused to believe in Jesus based on the testimony of the disciples. He says, I must see Jesus myself before I'm going to believe. This must have been pretty hard for Jesus to hear. Think about Jesus' perspective for just a minute. Jesus is planning on these disciples sharing the gospel of the good news of Jesus with the whole world. And here's one of their own who won't even believe that testimony. Jesus must be really disappointed. He's put all of his eggs in this basket. The world is to believe in the good news on the testimony of these guys who are stuck in this room a week after Jesus has risen from the dead. He's got every reason to be disappointed with his disciples. They've missed the path that Jesus has prepared for them. But pay attention here. Pay close attention to how Jesus responds. It's not what you might expect. He has every right to scold them and to reprimand them and say, look, guys, I understand you didn't get it before I rose from the dead, but I rose from the dead. Like, what is the problem? But he doesn't say any of that. Jesus seeks out his disciples. He finds them there in the room. He doesn't bother with the door, that's an interesting detail, right? He just shows up in the room. He finds them, and he approaches the disciples, especially Thomas, and he's overflowing with grace. There's no words of correction. There's no reminders of how they've disappointed Jesus. This is what you should have done. This is what you did. You guys really messed up. There's nothing about the past at all. Jesus doesn't bring it up. Through what Jesus does not say, he's actually saying that the most important thing is, I'm here with you. I'm here with you now. We're together. We can move forward now. Forget the past. I'm with you now. Jesus meets the disciples right where they are, and he supplies them with everything they need in order to believe. Think about his encounter with Thomas. He shows Thomas exactly what he needs to see to believe. Jesus wasn't even there when Thomas had requested that he needed to touch Jesus' hands and feel his side. Yet that's exactly what Jesus gives him when he shows up a week later. You see, Jesus is not just sitting up there with his arms crossed, waiting for his disciples to gather up enough faith to come to him. No, Jesus goes to his disciples, and he helps them to find that faith. And he does the same thing for us. Jesus comes to us. Jesus comes to us. A story that I think shows this in operation really well is another story out of Belize. You should go there sometime if you've not been. We take a couple trips a year. It's a great place. But Susie Malden, who used to work as our director of older adult ministry here, has gone to Belize as a missionary, as many of you know. She's been there about a year and a half and is working with hospice and palliative care patients in Belize. And she tells us this story of Glenn, one of the palliative care patients. He's a long-term patient. He's not getting better, but he needs help all the time. And he's not got mobility, so he's got to have somebody helping him 24 hours a day. He rents a small room in an old rundown house in the poor part of Belize City. He doesn't have a bathroom inside, and so anytime he needs to take a bath, his helper will help him to get down the steps, which the house is up on stilts, and so to get down the steps to the front yard where they can take a bucket with water and then give him a bath right there in view of the whole neighborhood. So Susie, through a donation that came by way of our church, was able to purchase some materials and hire a guy to build for Glenn a little shelter in the front yard. It made out of just roofing tin and put together, not doesn't have a floor, it doesn't have any plumbing inside it, it's just a basic shelter where Glenn can take a bath in privacy. And Susie reports that Glenn was so very grateful for this little gift. But here's the significant part. You see, God knew exactly what Glenn needed for faith. Because Glenn told Susie this. He said, "You know, because of all that's happened to me, I've really pretty much turned away from God, and I've given up on him. But because you've come and you've given me this shelter, I can believe in God again." You see, God met Glenn right where he was. God knew that Glenn needed some help with his faith. And so God made it happen. That's the way God operates with us as well. It's how Jesus operated with the disciples, giving them what they needed to have faith, and it's how God operates with us.